This is Politico Energy. Stay tuned after the show for a message from Chevron. Throughout the Democratic presidential primary, candidates and voters have criticized former Vice President Joe Biden's climate platform for not having enough teeth.
I'm the only person on this stage who will say that climate is the number one priority for me. Vice President Biden won't say it.
I know your heart is in the right place, but this requires dramatic, bold action. We've got to take on the fossil fuel industry. Your plan does not do that.
For him, you look at an issue like fracking, he's been reluctant to endorse a national ban, which a lot of activists want to see that declaration made. But he's been reluctant to do it because, you know, if you're going to win Pennsylvania, where fracking is big, you might not want to take that position.
But since becoming the presumptive nominee, his campaign has expanded his climate plan, adding environmental justice commitments and convening a unity task force with Senator Bernie Sanders. Now, a progressive group within the Democratic National Convention is trying to get him to endorse components of Sanders' $16 trillion climate plan.
The DNC is not obligated to adopt any of these recommendations from the Internal Climate Council, and it's going to be an interesting potential rehash of some long simmering feuds between progressives and the DNC. So we'll see how that all plays out in the end, but clearly the council feels that they need a little bit of sunlight on the DNC process to assure that they don't get railroaded, and we'll see what that means for the party's official platform on climate and what that means for Biden's ultimate platform as well.
Today,
I think Biden still has a lot of convincing to do. His campaign says that he'll be coming out with a bolder plan in the coming weeks, but I don't think you could ever expect that the plan would be adopted wholesale, because this is just essentially the starting point of a negotiation with the party and with the campaign.
Politico's Zach Coleman on how climate policies could help Biden win over progressive support. It's Friday, June 5th, and I'm your host, Kelsey Tamburino.
Climate is a way that he can really burnish his bona fides with progressives if he chooses to do so. There's certainly a lot of people in the climate world that have given him room to breathe on this and given him the chance to evolve, and they're waiting. They're speaking in a way that's more positive about him, knowing that this is the person they're going to have to deal with if the Democrats are to take the White House, knowing that he's better than Trump on environmental and climate issues. And that's the task for Biden. Is he going to grow into this space that people have given him, or is he going to stay true to his campaign? At the same time, he did put forward a plan that was far more ambitious than any other presidential ticket winner for the Democratic Party in the past.
But Zach, one of Biden's strengths in the primary was that he was not so aggressive on most issues that he could turn off supporters from the undecided pool, and that he could turn around even some traditionally Republican voters. Wouldn't a pivot to the left be a threat to that perceived strength?
Yeah, it's a really tricky thing, because in most primaries, the fringe positions or the most hard left, if you're a Democrat, or hard right if you're a Republican, you get rewarded for that, for playing to your base. But then if you win the nomination, you're supposed to tack to the center. Biden's got an interesting problem here. He already was a centrist within the primary ranks. He won the nomination, and yet to excite the base of his own party, he is faced with potentially having to go even left of where he was in the primary, while at the same time trying to strike a centrist tone to not alienate the swing state voters that he was essentially rallied around to win in the first place. So it's a really kind of inverse proposition compared to how you would think of most presidential primaries and then the resulting election.
And part of why he could be considering a pivot to the left is because of a fundamental understanding from within his campaign and the party that the path to victory is through appealing to the left wing that isn't exactly excited by Biden, but also through young voters with historically low turnout numbers. Part of that understanding has come from the success progressive candidates have had in activating these groups of voters, particularly during both of Bernie Sanders' presidential runs.
Yeah, I think that there's no doubt that Bernie Sanders has had an impact on the Democratic Party. A lot of his positions have become the default Democratic position, or at least a default Democratic debate. Climate change is one of them. He was more aggressive than Hillary Clinton. And in fact, the ball has moved beyond even where he was in 2016 when he was advocating for a carbon tax. And now that's not even the you know, policy du jour for serious climate folk. So he's definitely reshaped the party along the lines of a lot of the things that he cares about.
Also, over a series of tweets yesterday evening, President Donald Trump attacked Alaskan Senator Lisa Murkowski. In the tweets, the president said, quote, "Few people know where they'll be in 2 years from now, but I do. In the great state of Alaska, which I love, campaigning against Senator Lisa Murkowski." He added, "Get any candidate ready, good or bad. I don't care. I'm endorsing. If you have a pulse, I'm with you." Earlier on Thursday, Murkowski supported the former Defense Secretary James Mattis's criticism of the president, calling it, quote, "necessary and overdue."
She said she agreed with that criticism from James Mattis. She said that she was happy that he found the words and something that she was struggling to find the words about how she feels. And Brianna, but you said it, she is a lone voice here.
Murkowski, who chairs the powerful Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee, has been one of the few Republicans to break ranks on Trump. And there's a good reason for that. She's shown she can win her seat without the party's help. After being narrowly defeated in the GOP primary in 2010, she managed to keep her seat by winning as a write-in candidate. And one more thing. President Donald Trump signed an executive order on Thursday waiving environmental laws to speed up permitting of highways and energy infrastructure projects. According to the order, the Interior, Agriculture, and Defense Departments would use their emergency and other authorities to accelerate projects on federal lands. Trump's decision comes as both parties are looking at infrastructure as a way to kickstart the U.S. economy, which has lost over 43 million jobs since the pandemic began. The order follows years of efforts by the Trump administration to roll back environmental laws that industry groups say slows construction projects. Subscribe to the Morning Energy newsletter at politico.com/morningenergy and subscribe to this podcast for free on your favorite podcast player. You can listen to the show on your smart speaker. Just search for the Politico Energy Podcast. Our producer is Carlos Prieto. The senior producer is Jenny Ament. And the executive producer is Irene Noguchi. Our editor is Matt Daly. And on the show this week,
Zach Coleman,
Annie Snyder,
Gavin Babe,
Joshua Pisana,
Ben LaFave.
Thanks, and we'll be back again on Monday.
Support for the Politico Energy Podcast comes from Chevron, partnering with California Bioenergy to transform farm waste into renewable natural gas and providing an alternative source of power for a cleaner way forward. For more information, visit chevron.com.